Please turn with me now in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 5. I didn't welcome the people who are visiting our church today, either for the first time or you've returned again, as we're thinking more about Father's Day, and then also the folks online who have tuned in, whether from a local place or from afar. You're most welcome in the Savior's precious name. We're reading in John's Gospel the same portion that we looked at last Lord's Day morning, verse number 16, starting with, "Therefore, did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day? But Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.' Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making him self-equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." May the Lord bless his word to us. We'll bow, please, for prayer. Lord, as we come now to the word of God that we have read, bless it to our minds and hearts. Help us to commit the word of God to our souls. Lord, I pray that as the children have been systematically memorizing the scripture, so that we yet as adults would not be slack to commit the word of God to our hearts. Lord, help us, we pray. Bless every father and grandfather and great-grandfather in our meeting. We pray, Lord, that there would be a word in season to every one. Some, Lord, who have been on the Christian road a long time, and maybe others, well, they have not yet started. They are not followers of Christ yet. Speak to every heart this morning. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Verse number 20. The first part of the verse is the text we have for you today. It says, "For the Father loveth the Son." The Father loveth the Son. And the title of my word today, the message, is simply this: fathers, love your children. Because if fathers love their children, it is then that we are a true reflection of God as He loved His only begotten Son. And God the Father loves His children that are in Christ. You know, when we say a word like this, fathers are a true reflection of God when they love their children. It's really no surprise to the Christian, because we believe that, as 1 John chapter 4 tells us, God is love, and love emanates from Him. He is the foundation, the author. The very fountain of love comes from Him. It cannot be defined in any other way but a definition that is of God Himself. And when we observe the creation of the Lord and His tender and kind providences, whereby He supplies and takes care of, watches over, is constantly demonstrating His love to His children, well, we see the greatest example of that, do we not, in the cross, where the Lord Jesus suffered and died, being given by His Father, that He might die in a place for us who are adopted and brought into the family of God. And so, my dear friend, if our Father in heaven, as a being that is infinite in His love and care and grace, who has provided for us so many material things, but beyond that, the focus of every true follower of God and of Christ is that we have drawn our spiritual blessings from Him. He deserves, therefore, our worship. He deserves our love and our devotion. He deserves our service because He is worthy of all this. And fathers, if you today, if I today am going to be a reflection of God, then we are going to love our children as God loves us. Well, Dad, if this is the case today, and this is what is required of us because of our Father in heaven, and we want to say, Lord, I need to have that true reflection of God in my life. I need to love as God loves in some degree. What does this love then look like? In the first place, it is an example that we are to copy. An example that we are to copy. In verse 20, simply, the Father loveth the Son. How can we grasp the meaning and the weight of this scripture? How can we understand it apart from knowing something of the relationship that existed and that continues to exist between the Father and the Son? For the Lord Jesus said, I do always those things that please Him. And the Lord said, not my will, but thy will be done. And the Savior was prepared to say, I am submissive to the will of my Father in heaven. And the example, if we could say it in these terms, the example that Christ would draw from His heavenly Father is the example that He bore out in His own life. In order for the Lord Jesus to do the will of His Father, He had to receive the ways of His Father. He knew the mind and the heart of His Father. And if the Father could say that He loved the Son, it would be reciprocated, and the Son could say that He loves the Father. There was a relationship between them that had existed from all eternity. And a relationship that will never be broken. A relationship that will never change. It's important for us to know that. For the love that the Father has for the Son and the Son for the Father, it cannot be improved upon. Neither can it be diminished. It is an unchanging love that is a perfect love. We need to have this reinforced. It needs to be firmly established in our lives. Why? Because the love that God has exampled for us and the love that we have seen and observed that the Savior has for His Father, it is this that is the foundation of every true, meaningful human relationship. When I look back in my own life, and I remember the relationship that I had with my own father, and the example that he was to me as a young boy, as a teenager, as a young man, and one who started his own family, I observed the majority of times the integrity and the honesty and the vigilance and generosity and compassion. But I knew that behind all this was a love that my own father had for his heavenly Father. It was a love that had a foundation. And more than anything else, as I reflect on it, that was a life lesson for me. Sometimes it was in a single word spoken. Sometimes it would be just in a time of counsel or guidance. Sometimes it would be in a word of rebuke that stung. But I can say that in all of these things, I received from my own dad that example and that instruction. Year by year, day by day, I saw the evidence in his life of a man of God, a man of faith, a man of prayer. Not a perfect man, but a man who loved the Lord with all his heart. And sometimes it was an unpopular position that he had to take, even within his own family. We know that life is not an easy road. We know that whenever you live life and experience relationships, there are going to be problems. There are going to be roadblocks. There are going to be obstacles that we must try to get over. But the point is, a life of faith, a life that is lived to honor God, is going to be reflected in how those times are dealt with. And I certainly remember those times. And I only pray that we will be enabled to carry on something of that legacy to the next generation. Jesus said, "The Father loveth the Son." And when we read this in John 5:20, it almost seems that Jesus was saying this in the third person, a little bit impersonal. The Father loveth the Son. But it is not that way at all. And the word of the Savior was very clearly here. It was the unquestioned knowledge that Jesus had, that His Heavenly Father loved Him. But we notice that there is also in this the reciprocated respect and love that the Son and children are to have toward their parents. Jesus said in verse 19, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise.
The Son had submitted Himself to His Father in heaven, and He was prepared and was able to say that all things that the Father hath revealed to Me, I have accepted them, and I want to do them. And at that time, from eternity, the Lord Jesus knew what that meant. He knew that it meant the cross. He knew that it meant for Him suffering, anguish, to die in the place of rebels and sinners like you and me. And that's what the Savior submitted Himself to. And everything that God revealed to Him, He has accepted and taken, and He has fulfilled that totally. We are commanded in Scripture to be holy as God, our Father in heaven, is holy. We are to follow His example. And you know, as earthly fathers, we are to set that example to our children for them to follow. But how sad. How sad it is, dads, when we have to acknowledge and admit our children have followed our example, but it's not been a good one. Our children have taken up the bad manners that we have. Our children have observed our language at times, and those attitudes that have been conveyed to them, which have been negative, not God-fearing, not following the Lord, certainly not the pattern of our Savior. Yes, friends, at times we have to acknowledge our sin. And it's not a bad thing for fathers to acknowledge their sins to their own children, our own families. That's not an easy thing to do. That is an extremely hard thing to do. Oh, but friend, today I say to you that we are to walk in the fear and love and nurture as the Savior, the Lord Jesus, followed in the admonition and direction that His Heavenly Father gave. Yes, we know that our relationships are faulty on earth. And many times, though, we have to go to God in prayer, maybe privately, and say, Lord, please erase that word from the minds of my children. Please take away and don't allow my bad example to be taken in on board by them. Our words and our actions must be together. And when our words and our actions go in the opposite direction from what the Lord Jesus tells us about, then we have to say, Lord, please forgive us and help us and put us on the right track. I wonder, Dad, has your example been a scriptural one? Do our children see Christ-likeness in our attitude and behavior? Do they know that kind of unconditional love that the Lord has given to us? Where we have failed in this, what we must do is pray that whatever time the Lord allows us to have, that we will take steps to repair the damage of neglected years. And we will rebuild those walls that have crumbled over time. We will only be able to do this by the Lord's grace. Please notice with me, secondly, fathers, God's love in us empowers our children to serve God. Yes, God's love in us empowers our children to serve God. Please notice verse 17. Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. We looked at this verse in some detail last Lord's Day morning, and I have no intention of repeating what was said then, but it has a slightly different focus as we're thinking about Father's Day today. and how that the love that God had for His Son empowered Him to be able to serve and to fulfill the very will of His Father in heaven. And I would say that, fathers, you and I, as we reflect and have God's love in us, it will empower our children, not discouraging them, but encouraging them to serve the living God in their lives. Encouragement to succeed. What did God say from heaven to His only begotten Son? He said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Father, when was the last time that you said to your child something along those words to encourage them, to let them know that you are happy with them, to let them know that you are praying for them and you're encouraging them to go on in their life service for the Master? How vitally important this encouragement is. It is the Word of the living God, you know, that endures forever. And though heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, "My Word will not pass away." And therefore, that's the Word of His Father that will not pass away. It is the living Word of God that we have in our very hands. And so, fathers, when you instruct your children in the lessons of finance and investing, those things are good. But only good for a limited time. Because everything around us is going to be burned up one day, and we will leave it all behind. And when we stand before the judgment seat of God, and the fire of the Lord comes upon us, the wood, the hay, and the stubble, not sinful things necessarily, but the wood, hay, and the stubble will be burned off. And what we are left with, friends, is the gold and the silver and the precious stones. Not temporal thinking, but that is the spiritual and the eternal import. So when we invest in our children's lives in spiritual things, and when we encourage them and direct them and advise them, what we are doing, we are teaching them to serve a higher purpose. We are teaching them to serve the living God. And that service is something that is vitally important for us to encourage them in. But it takes time and it takes a lot of effort. And we can always find time to do things that we think are most important in our lives. We're all like that. We will find and make the time to do what we want to do. But the time and effort that is necessary in mentoring and leading and teaching our children is something that maybe we have neglected too often. And we have to say, as Thomas Edison said, "Time is really the only capital that any human being has, and the only thing he can't afford to lose. It's the most precious thing, because no matter how much money you have, you can't buy another minute." There is a danger of being consumed with the urgencies of life that we all face, to make time for many things, but in the case of the necessity of the Word of God and of living out before our own families. And I don't stand before you today and this morning as one that has arrived at that and is the example that everyone should follow. No, sadly, that's not the case. And maybe those who are closest will know that the best. But you know, the Lord, in His busy schedule of preaching and teaching and healing, what did He have time for? He had time for the little children. And He had time to bring them up to Himself and to embrace them and to teach his disciples that of such is the kingdom of heaven. He loved the children because from the Lord Jesus emanated that constant love that he knew from his Father, that he shared with his Father, and that he was giving out continually to others. Let us take time, therefore, to fulfill the command to teach our families in the way of truth and to empower them and continue building their lives, because as we reflect God's love in us, we are going to be empowering our children to go on and to serve the living God. And it takes a lot of patience. It doesn't come easy. How patient has God been with us? Many times we've stumbled and fallen and had to learn the same lessons over and over again. But the Lord comes and he is patient with us in our many failures. And yet, what does he do? But he empowers us, he strengthens us to continue, to build, to go on with him. Not to give up, not to surrender, not to say it's over, but to say, no, Lord. We must go on to serve. Because there is only one life that we have to live. And as vapor, it's passing away. It is only what is done for Christ that will last. You know, as parents, we can become frustrated when the response of our children is not what we want to see. Just then, we must remember how we were in the days of our rebellion. And we pray for much wisdom. We ask the Lord to give us much patience and not to give up in the teaching of spiritual lessons by word and by life. These things are so vital. It means bringing to our families and our children the absolute necessity of the truth of God's word, and that they will honor that word in their life, because it is the only chart and compass, the only GPS that we need in our spiritual walk with God. Would you please notice, in the third place, that this love is entrusting with responsibility. This love is entrusting with responsibility. In verse 22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." The judgment that God has given to his only begotten Son is a twofold judgment. It is a judgment whereby all sinners will in the end, in the great white throne judgment, stand before the living God, the Savior, and they will give account for their sin and their life of rebellion against God. Every opportunity that a sinner has had to repent of that sin, every time a commandment has been broken, whether it has been by thought, by word, or by deed, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to answer for that sin and then to receive the judgment and condemnation for it. Friend, if you're here today in this meeting and you're not a believer, you need to begin to think about that carefully and to shake inside. Think of the sins you have committed. Think of a life of rebellion against God. And every single sin that you have committed, you will give account for before the judgment seat of Christ. And you will hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You'll be cast off into a lost eternity. You will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account for your sin. And I say to you today with all solemnity, repent now while you have time. Turn from your sin now before it is eternally too late. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you turn and walk away, if you go out of this meeting now or you turn your computer off, you will remember this opportunity that God has given you. You will remember these faltering words spoken in human weakness and yet presenting faithfully the Word of God to you and the warning that you must flee from the wrath to come. This judgment God the Father has placed in the hands of His Son. And there will be another aspect of that judgment whereby the people of God, saved by the grace of the Lord, will stand to give account for how we have used our talents, our time. And I pray that we will be investing for heaven. We will lay up our treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt, and thieves cannot break through and steal. God has given us so much here. He has blessed us abundantly. He has blessed you with many and much. And if He gave us nothing more than each day food and raiment, air to breathe, water to drink, and the blessing of life, it would be abundant. But the Lord has given to us much more. And we must be careful, friends, not to abuse or become sidetracked with the things that the Lord blesses us with, what He's blessed you with. Thank God for it. But use those resources for the Lord's honor. Use your tithes and your offerings to make up the treasury of God. Do not rob God by keeping your tithe back from Him. The Lord will hold us one day to give answer for those things. Judgment has been committed by the Father into the hands of the Son. And what we draw from this is this truth, that the Father loveth the Son, and because He loves the Son, He entrusts to Him the responsibility, a mammoth responsibility here. Fathers, how does this apply to us, our children, families? Well, maybe there's a danger in some of us of micromanaging our children, our families. We need to be prepared to give age-appropriate responsibility. And then when that happens, not to be shocked when a mistake happens or an accident happens, but to take that as a time, an opportunity for instruction and help. How and why? That's exactly how the Lord deals with us. He gives to us responsibility. He blessings upon that. And then when we take that and we stumble and fall with it and we drop the basket of eggs and they're all a big mess now, well, we have to clean the mess up. And the Lord gives us a new basket. And He says, carry on. You've got more work to do yet. And therefore, let us, as fathers with our children, to entrust them with responsibility and to let them see that as a result of this, it is the love that's motivated that. It's love for them and a desire for them to grow in likeness to the Savior. And if we could say it in this way, well, that's exactly what God the Father did for His Son. He entrusted Him with responsibility that was great. And so, son, daughter, when your parents, your father, gives that responsibility to you, be careful that you do not abuse it. Be careful that you take it carefully within your heart. And be mindful that you have accountability also before the living God. Please notice in the fourth place that this love is the expectation of honor. the expectation of honor. Look at verse 23. It says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. That all men should honor the Son. Yes, responsibility has been given. But is it not the aspiration, parent, with your children? Is it not your aspiration that your children will grow to live honorable lives in society? That they will grow to be an example in the community, in the workplace, in the work of God? To be who they are to be in the Savior. And so you have all this wrapped up as you have helped, counseled, comforted, supported, carried them along until finally they go off on their own. And we say, Lord, let all the teaching, let all the instruction, let everything that has been poured into them by life and example and word, let it come to its full fruit in their lives. So that, as others will honor them, they in turn will reflect that honor back to the Lord again. We know that in order for this to take place, dads, we have to be first taught of God, don't we? We need to know the Savior ourselves. Maybe there's a father here today and you're not yet saved. Well, how then can you think your children will be instructed in the ways of the Lord? It's not possible. No. First of all, we must have a living relationship with the Savior. We must know the Lord. We must be saved by His grace. We must be men who are Spirit-filled men, walking with the Lord, showing the principles of the Word of God being worked out in everyday life, not trying to find the shortcut or the loophole, but to be prepared to go through and to go on. And we must pray that the Lord will enable us, because as we are taught by God, then we will be able to teach others also. That's exactly the model and pattern that Paul said to Timothy. That as you have learned the Scriptures from a young boy, from your grandmother and your mother, and you've been brought up now, you're a son in the faith, go out and serve the Lord, and by your walk of humility and having a teachable spirit, you will be able to serve God. So we pray that that will be the reality for all of us. But you know how sad it is. The only example that many children have in families and homes, it's a faulty and a broken example. And oh, what can we say? But Lord, have mercy. Have mercy upon us in our failure, in our time of weakness. Have mercy, O Lord, where we have not measured up, if we could say it that way. Lord, come and help us. And help those families and children that are born into this world in great deprivation, where they have not mother or father that really loves them. The example is so skewed and so difficult. Blessed are those children whom the Lord has given God-fearing parents. And I pray that those children would hear, that they would take the Word of God to their heart. In some respect, we have all failed in this, and we have failed to measure up in the standard of parenting. So I don't lecture you here on this matter. Sometimes we wonder, what can we do when mistakes have been made, and maybe serious mistakes in our parenting? Parents, the first thing we have to do is acknowledge that we have failed and we must repent before the Lord. And yes, as I said before, repentance before our children. To acknowledge we are not perfect. We are simply sinners saved by the grace of God, but we want to honor the Lord in our lives. Maybe there's a resetting of priorities. Perhaps there's a reclaiming of lost ground. All of these things together For the Lord has promised He will restore the years that the locusts of sin have eaten. And so we pray that the Lord will enable us to follow after this pattern. Fathers, love your children. For when they see the love of God in us, they then will also follow in that path by God's rich grace. Just as we come to close our service today, I didn't notice in the meeting our sister Jenny before, but Jenny, we have been praying so much for you, and I wanted to encourage you in the Lord, and we're continuing to hold you up before Him in prayer today. Let's ask the Lord to bless us. Father, as we bring this service to a close today, we acknowledge, Lord, our great dependence, the need that we have that is not in ourselves, is not of us. But Lord, do, we pray, a great work. Help us in all things, we pray. Think today of our sister Jenny. Oh Lord, we hold her up this morning in prayer. We ask, dear God, that You would be pleased to touch her body and to give her comfort and that measure of health and strength. Just be with her, Lord, in her spirit, her heart. Bless Cherry as well. Support her and strengthen her as she takes care of her mum. And Lord, remember others, sick ones. We think of Mrs. Crothers as she'll be traveling overseas, going away for a period of time. Bless her, we pray, and keep her safe. Also think of Brother Postel this morning as he is going through surgery tomorrow. Bless him. Be with all of our people, Lord, today. Cause us to rejoice one with another. Part us now in Thy fear, and with Thy blessing, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.